You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What? I fell in love with that little bubble intro. I don't know. I like it now. You know, first I thought it was stupid and goofy, but like, I like it. Leave me alone. Anyways, welcome everyone to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the Wall Network. Here on a Monday night to discuss, a lot of the times I ask the crew to bring me tithings of different things, so whether it be food or jokes. So that's why we, okay, that's wrong. I can't say that. I had it lined up, and I can't do it. Anyways, I bring some of my best friends with me. I like to have Paul. I was going to call Paul a joke, but I can't do that. Paul is over here sacrificing his time on a Monday night. We tagged him in, even though he is really tired. And we want to thank you for coming tonight, producer Paul. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, glad to be here, Harry. As I've stated several times, I just want to die of tiredness right now. So, you know, if I fade and drop out of the call, that's just to be expected at this point. It's past my bedtime.
All right. Well, that's good. And I'm also have I got Vincent here because he brings me typing most of the time in the form of food and or content. And hopefully today he has brought me content. So Vincent, why don't you go say hi to the people?
I did my best. We were just trying to figure out what to talk about. And it was like, well, I mean, there's this thing. and then like at the end of the last episode, like once we were off the air, I talked about one of these and Harry was like, link, please. And I immediately posted the link. I don't think you even watched it, but I did.
5 minutes. Have not had time. Not had time. Because, you know, it was just like, man, it's a, how can I put it? It's since the Friday episode, I have just been burning the midnight oil on both ends. I went to a party Saturday night. I was there at about 2 a.m. and planned to get up to go do yoga on Sunday. That did not happen. I set my alarm. My wife, I want to blame her because it's easy and she's not here to defend herself. Well, I decided to, you know what? Yoga class is at 8. I'm going to sleep in for myself to 6, right? Right? So I wake up, which I thought was my alarm, and it was my alarm, but my wife was walking around the house, but she should be up and gone from work. And found out she woke up late. So it confused my brain, who already turned the alarm off with my hand, you know, because she's walking around the room. I'm like, oh, I'm up early. I got an extra like 45 minutes. I'm going back to sleep.
3 hours later.
Basically, yeah, get up at 10. Yeah. Get the daughter, all that stuff. It's all fun times. And then, you know, it's trying to get her ready. Then President's Day, like, because I've got planned for like this morning. I did a bunch of different updates, and I've got some more to do tomorrow. So I've just been running, just trying to get things done. And then, you know, but so yeah, he's been running since the big show on Friday. So
right, which is fair.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing I did want to bring up, right, which I have been watching this unfold here on my local small town Facebook group, which I think the best thing about living in a small town is access to the small town Facebook group. If you want any reason to move to a small town, like, oh, I want chickens or I just want to know my neighbors, those are pointless reasons. The small town Facebook group is where it's at. So I get into it, and because usually it's like sometimes it's like a lot of good juicy stuff that's going around in the town, but this time it was, oh man, it was drama on the nth degree. Apparently somebody, like, because all right, we've, every neighborhood has an issue with dogs, right? Because there's always that one neighbor, right, or somebody in the neighborhood that's got dogs, and they romanticize the idea about having dogs. They really don't understand.
They don't like having dogs.
Yeah, they don't really into it, or they got dogs that they cannot handle. They have not trained. They have, you know, they just don't know. You know, they can't handle the dog. You know, they, because it is a oh, ACO said it's past his best time. Yes, sorry, Ace. Yeah, everyone's got to stay up for this one. Okay, all right, all right. Maybe one of these days we'll start earlier, like 8 or something. But this year is not that year. All right. So,
what do you mean?
Yeah, it happens sometimes. I don't know. It started happening last episode too. I said I haven't troubleshooted what's happening with the camera.
All right, fine. Ace, Vincent's not real. He's not been real the entire time.
Yeah, it's just an amalgamation of squirrels.
Well, it's actually a dozen squirrels that we've trained in how to use a computer. And then we also just let them type in the prompts into chat AI.
Mm-hmm. Chat GPT. Yeah.
Oh, it's it's our different version. We can't afford that. We gotta. This one's running on an Arduino and a Raspberry Pi. Okay.
This one you need an Amiga to use.
Yeah, an Amiga, and then the database we used for it is just like some mangas that we have.
Some manga and comic book wikis. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Luckily, the AI is smart enough to filter out some of the 4chan stuff that Nice added.
I mean,
you can tell
on camera anyway, though. And it knows not to use it on camera.
Yeah, it's there in the background. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes you can see just how conflicted the squirrels are.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But anyway, so like small town Facebook group, which this is like this story does have a bad ending. I will admit, full trigger warning on this one. So apparently someone was out walking their dog, and they see, because this person is one of those bad dog. The other person is a bad dog owner. Their dog jumped their fence. They weren't paying attention. No one is out looking for this dog. And this other smaller dog, this beagle, gets attacked by two larger dogs. Unfortunately, that other beagle did not make it. Unfortunately, the lungs were pierced and it was terrible. And the owner is being kind of obnoxious about it, even though they told our local police department that they're going to get everything fixed, everything's going to go with it. And, apparently, like, this whole smile, like, the small town is up in an uproar about this, because they have been posting receipts all day about this person having, just going back over a year time of these dogs just getting out, knowing it's an issue, and just Facebook posts, have you seen my dog? Have you seen my dog? And like, whose dog is this? Just post after post after post, and they just keep filling it up. Well, like, this person is a nuisance, and they actually got the attention of the animal control board. They're like, we're closed on President's Day. We will be there tomorrow.
Yeah, we will get this taken care of. This is ASAP.
This is done.
I was gonna offer to like come walk my dog, and since Indiana is now constitutionally carry, we'll just solve the issue.
Oh my god. Oh, God.
And I hate to put it that way, but if a dog is willing to jump the fence and attack another dog, you don't know what it can do to a child walking the neighborhood or something like that. It, like, there is a responsibility as an owner of an animal, mm-hmm, to have control over your animals.
Correct. Yeah. Understand the responsibility of it. It's like, you know, it's, and it does stink, because you know, which after this, you know, the local police department is going to probably overcorrect and overpolice the idea of like a making sure everyone's, you know, is on their leash. I'm sure everyone's going to do it because there are some dog, there's some dog owners out there that are, you know, their dogs are trained well enough that they can walk around without a leash or have super long leashes and everything like that. But, you know, but bad actors just like that, they can't take the responsibility, you know, to train the dog to A, not jump the fence, or B, just be mindset that when you let your dog outside, you're still responsible for the dog outside. Watch your dog.
You know? You own it. If you're bringing it into this environment, you're responsible for it.
Yep. I got mad at my neighbors because like they've got these like two pit bulls, which one of them has known my daughter since like they're both little. So like that one, I'm not too afraid of, but it's the little female that they just got, you know, that's antsy. You know, that's the one I'm more worried about. And because that one doesn't know my daughter and it keep jumping the fence. And it's just like, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, when you
see, and my dog Freya, she hasn't worn a collar in like 3 years. She just stays in my yard though. Like I put her in the backyard and she has no urge to leave. I don't even know how she wound up being a stray when we first got her, because she showed up on my front porch as like, well, I guess I have a dog now. No collar, no tags, no chip, nothing.
Is this how you get everyone at your house? Well, they just show up.
Yes. This is how I make friends. I sit down in a restaurant, Harry shows up. I'm working a job, Donovan shows up.
Hey, it's collection. Oh my god, that's a, you know, it's a good backstory for like a role playing character. Let's...
Wherever I show up, I get party members. I don't know how it happens.
I have no idea.
I wasn't even an adventurer. I went out to get some dinner.
Next thing I know, I'm in this fighting a lich. Oh man! Oh my goodness! All
right, now so, that's an isekai story for you right there. Reincarnated in another world with magnetic charisma.
Magnetic charisma. Yes. Nice. So I just, but I got now. I got distracted by
Joe. Yeah. Going back to it, like Freya has absolutely no desire to jump.
Sit down for a podcast, and he shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does happen. But like there have been times where it's like, oh, she wants to go out. I let her out and I go sit down on the couch, look at my phone, 2 hours pass. And it's like, oh crap. But all she does is she sits there at the back door like, I better be here when he comes to open the door and let me in because I want a treat.
Hopefully it's not a screwdriver this time.
You tell one joke about throwing a screwdriver at the dog to stop her from barking at people, and
the joke is you threw the screwdriver because you meant to throw a treat because it was in the same.
Oh yeah, thing that, as that your tools. Too. Okay, I tell so many lies about that dog that it's not even easy to keep him straight.
He lies as easily as he breathes.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm totally awake to do this podcast.
Hey, I was truthful when I said I wasn't.
Oh man, that's hilarious. You guys are hilarious. So I'm all for long leashes and dogs having freedom, but train your dogs. All dogs bite. And if you don't want to do it, get the smallest dog you can get your hands on. Don't be that person.
No, there are breeds that are easier small dogs are not that.
I'd rather punt a chihuahua trying to tackle a golden retriever. But even though you don't have to worry about golden retriever too much, they're pretty much pushovers anyways. But
they actually have the most bites every year in America. But they're also exceedingly common, so
correct. But then again, like I said, I would rather punt a chihuahua. You know,
honestly,
or I'll punt a terrier too. Okay. All right.
Honestly, all right. If you don't want to like bother training a dog, go for nature's mistake, the pug.
Okay, I hate the pugs. There's like one pug I liked and he passed away last year, and like the rest of the pugs are just, they're just awful. This is awful. I used to, I know, because he comes over to go putting dogs. There's context. I swear there's context.
I think Oliver might be the only chill chihuahua that I have ever known of.
Yeah. I don't want it like a, just know that.
It's not a desire to punt small dogs. It's a willingness.
It's more of a we don't want to hurt dogs. No dogs are harmed in the making of this podcast. We don't want to, we don't want to hurt dogs. It's just more of a saying if I had to I used to hang around like my mother-in-law had a pug. I'm kind of halfway responsible for his obeseness because I would go over her house around lunchtime. I would put her pug in my pickup truck and we would go get Baconators. And I would drive around this pug in my truck eating Baconators.
It's already a genetic mistake. Then you just make it obese on top of that. It's just like pain.
Yeah, he slowed down. He wasn't all yappy yappy at my ankles anymore. Because he can't. I gotta like turn my back now. So anyways.
Harry over here messing up his setup, not realizing. I totally do a podcast in this space.
Yeah. Like. Baconator is worth it. Oh yeah. Setting this space up is all worth it. So awesome now because it's like gaming PC and I can just slide down, work. You know, gaming PC, work. You know, turn around. You know, I've got like got my bench here. I can work on other things like that. I even like set it up so I even got like my goth makeup stuff sitting out so it's easier for goth night. It's all sitting like right here. Everything's easy acceptable. Totally spaced about Monday nights. That I do not have set up for, and I apologize. So, like, I've got the gaming laptop right here, which is also still not plugged in. I have, let's see, how much battery left we got left? 2 hours battery left. Pretty good. We'll make it. We'll make this. This will hold. We should probably get. We're about what? 18 minutes in. And we have talked about nothing but like unnecessary violence to the dogs, which all I was going to say is, don't forget to spay and neuter.
And also don't do anything bad to animals on the internet because 4chan will find you.
Yes, true.
Because that's like one of their big things.
Yeah.
It's rule zero.
Exactly. They will find you and you will be reported to your local police.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're in the middle of some European country that nobody talks about, they will find you there too.
Yeah. I just want Paul to teach Freya better so we can go to breweries with dogs and like have Freya there. So, I won't.
Now, of the many things that I have said that have been absolute lies about Freya, the one where I took her with me to a drive-thru and she would not stop barking at the poor lady trying to take my order and give me my food through the window. That one was true. She ruined her ability to get a lot of French fries because there would have been an order of small fries in it for her. But no, she couldn't hold her tongue.
All I could think of is that they wanted to order meme where they're on the passenger seat reaching over the driver and just Freya barking at the speaker.
She wanted to order.
Just yelling at the speaker.
Thankfully, she was very good about not trying to climb into my lap because she is a 55-pound pit bull. It's like, I cannot drive with you doing that.
We should take that photo with Spangle in the drive-thru for the podcast. Like, she wanted to order.
Climbing over Ray.
And specifically, is it a Burger King?
Mm-hmm, is it a Burger King? Burger King, Burger King. Yeah, gotta be a Burger King. Gotta do it while she's still pregnant.
Yeah, that makes it funnier.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, like 7-8 months pregnant. So she still thinks it's funny. It'll be great. I'll put it in the show picture. So, anyway, so does that include using fish to catch fish? It's part of the circle of life, so that's fine. You can use fish. It depends on how you're catching fish, though. I don't know. I feel like this is a gotcha question, Ace. Are you trying to get us? I don't know how you're getting us. But I feel like you're trying to get us.
It depends on the fish, Ace. If it's a sardine, then it's fine. But if it's a goldfish, it's an issue.
I know.
Yeah, don't fish with goldfish. At least live goldfish, because they're invasive and they outcompete native fish.
Do you see how big they can get when people drop them in ponds?
Yeah, it's. It's terrible. Like, I have seen footage of like lakes up in like even Wisconsin, like places you wouldn't think they'd survive over winter. And hey, look, there's a school of goldfish, and there's about 30 or 40,000 of them swimming in a little rivulet in this lake,
yep,
just eating everything.
Can't eat them either. Mm-mm. Well, we can't, I should say. I'm sure there's something out there that eats it.
The Chinese will eat a lot of fish that we consider trash fish and won't touch.
That's true.
I was just thinking of the whole episode of The Simpsons where Bart brings a frog to Australia, and then they have to bring like they bring snakes to kill the frogs and mongooses to kill the snakes, and they just destroy the ecosystem by like having to keep airdropping the next thing to kill the other thing.
Yep. Ace wonders, I wonder what goldfish tastes like. I'm sure goldfish probably tastes like Magikarp. Do they look like Magikarp?
I mean,
no, it probably tastes more like Goldeen, sir. Because Magikarp's a carp. Goldeen's literally a goldfish.
My brother in Christ, goldfish are a type of carp.
Bro.
All right.
I don't know fish, okay?
All right, Paul. Remember I told you about us? Remember I talked about how, like, talk to me about, like, breed of cows? All right.
This man did not know that there were different breeds of cattle, and he's just thinking that there's just cow.
I knew that at least. Sir.
So you try to tell me? Yeah, I know. Just like try to tell me, there's more than cow. Cow. Yeah, there's milk cow, beef cow, right? Right, and like the cow with the horns.
Okay, so which cow with the horns are you talking? Scottish Highland, Longhorn, you know, any number of the dozens and dozens of cow breeds that have horns before they get pulled.
I know cows. See, I know cows.
See, he's got you there, Paul. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Argument. You said milk cow. Which breed of milk cow?
Milk cow, duh.
The chocolate milk cow.
Yeah, chocolate milk.
The strawberry milk cow. the ones they bring out during March for the leprechaun milk.
Yeah, Yeah, it's the green. Yeah, the special one from McDonald's for the Shamrock Shakes are made out of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yak. Yeah, I know that cow.
Actually, of everything that we have named, that is the not cow of cows. Ace. I want to be supportive, but yak is a different species of bovine.
Yeah.
I appreciate the spirit.
Or H-ing it up.
God, I'd make so much money if I just start a farm and just have video be an annoying boss. I try to do anything.
They have that, and it's getting a season 3. That's been confirmed.
Oh man! Oh yeah, Clarkson's because farm of you, is it what?
Because of you, Harry, I have seen nothing but little snippets of Clarkson's farm, the controversy about the local government. Like, I don't care about the council over in England doing something stupid that's pissed off fans for some reason. I don't care.
But the government overreached, Paul. They figured he would be into that. And the farming thing. That's double pull.
You would think, but yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, ah, oh, geez, this has become invasively advertised to me. Just, and now I'm not going to watch it because it's being advertised to me.
God dang it, Paul. Let's don't be that guy. You would enjoy it.
I probably would. But it's being actively advertised to me.
Especially like when...
You'd also like Letterkenny, but you called him Shorzy enough times that he won't watch it.
I know.
Oh, well, that... Yeah, that's a different form of trauma.
It's fair.
Yeah. I think like my favorite part of the first season, when he was sat there, the realization that he could have made more just cutting his field and turning it to hay versus trying to raise the sheep on it. It's like, I could have made more just cutting this whole thing with just using gasoline instead of just using this natural process and sold the hay. And everyone but him just said, yeah. That's why we do that. That's why we don't do this.
This is why you're dumb.
That's why all their sheep are raised in New Zealand.
Yeah, because it's just, oh man, it's just so bad. It's funny though. I love it. It's the show we're talking about. It's called Clarkson's Farm. It's on Amazon Prime Video right now. Starring Jeremy Clarkson, aka the Jezza, one of the greatest presenters of all time. And
just make sure he's fed.
Yeah, just make sure he's fed. He does get hangry. but you know, amazing guy, you know, and a lot of people dislike him because he wants to do what he wants. And you better have a good reason if you don't want to do what he wants. Because if your reason is just reasons, well, okay, he's going to just do it anyways.
Don't. Why? Because.
I think the best part of the show, like one of the cool things of the second season, when he tries to dig a hole on his farm and he uses the hole, the dirt, from the hole and moved to another part of his farm, and he was told that he can't do that, he would need a permit. Yeah. He never left his farm. Never got on a road or anything. And the fields are connected. Like he crossed the river. Dirt from one area to another area.
Yeah, you need a signed documentation for that, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeremy is a hilarious orangutan with a hammer, essentially. That is an insult to orangutans, okay?
Yeah. The higher apes have actually mastered tool use, thank you.
Well, Jeremy's still on hammers. Ooh, ooh. Oh, man, good old Jezza. Good old the Jezza. All right, so let's get to the actual topic of the show. Now we're finally done with the intro, right? We're done with the intro. We did introductions. We did small talk.
We talked about animal species.
Yeah.
So. Just like every episode, it's perfect.
The only thing
missing is talking about back in my day. This is what happened. This is the only thing we're missing.
Well, Captain Slow is not here. Okay. All right. That is a name of love for Reinhold. He is our Captain Slow. Okay. He knows his role just like other Captain Slow knows his role, and we need him for that. And it's great that we have him. But right now, he is down for the count because he's also has been burning his candle at both ends. So I just got this spicy recipe that I've been asking for. So. I'm happy. Yeah. So I've been asking for it and they just sent it to me.
So. I was wondering what that random music was for whatever reason.
Yeah. They're just like, here's the recipe. It's like, did you just send me the video that you watched? It's like, whatever. Whatever. It's like, look at these noodles. It's so spicy. It's so great. I think he's using just Gunkagen and sort of like just the spice packets with like the Bondo. Yeah. I like spicy noodles. All right. So. You know, and I don't like the high sodium and other random ingredients from the package that I get from the Creedy and other noodles. So, like, figure out a different way to do it. I'm all for it. Anyway, so, visit with you. Please bring us to our topic that we have now 30 minutes to discuss.
We have plenty of time to discuss it. So, not many people know, but Harry really loves ARGs. Like, a lot. Mm-hmm. And the concept of ARGs is always entertaining and fun. And analog horror is basically gone hand in hand with ARGs. A lot of it being, you know, like using old technology and old concepts like VHS tapes or like message boards.
Do you want to define ARG and then also try to like briefly define analog horror? What is that?
ARG is like an augmented reality games. Basically, people like putting out products in which not just what you're looking at tells the narrative, but there's like other links or videos or hidden messages in the videos that lead to other videos that you don't know about or that are secret or have codes that you have to crack to figure out what's actually going on in the narrative, because there's a lot to unpack, because that's just how it's written. It's basically a puzzle inside of watching media.
Interesting. What is like some of the famous one was the, what is the, what like, was it like not Cloverfield? Was that one movie that came out? Did it make you, oh yeah, the Dark Knight. They did that one for the Joker movie, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Really good, like when the studio money got behind it. And the other one.
Where they have like interesting concepts of this is what it is, and here's other stuff you can go next to find more information.
Yep. In the end of Gravity Falls, they had a little small ARG game after the end of it. So
small my ass. he hit a statue of Bill Cipher somewhere on the planet. And people had to figure out where the hell it was. That's not a small ARG, sir.
No, and you know, several video games have gone through with ARGs to market their upcoming products.
Exactly, it always makes it more interesting when there's more to uncover. It's basically a puzzle inside of watching something you already enjoy. For a lot of people, that's the fun aspect of it, of getting together with communities and try to figure out what it is and how it works and where it gets to where it gets. And the other thing is analog horror, which nowadays everything is very digital and modern. And a lot of analog horror is using stuff like VHS tapes or VHS style images and videos in order to bring in that sense of this is something that happened in the past, and this is something that did happen, and it adds that kind of Blair Witchy mystery and feel of what's happening. I don't know what's going on, and there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
One of the big popular ones was Local 58. which is basically like a TV station that had that was talking about a lot of weird and creepy things that were going on. Exactly. That's exactly what ARGs are, Ace. It's basically a real life scavenger hunt mixed with digital media. There's a lot of that, but then because it's a digital media, you're gonna get a lot more creative with things by adding a lot more confusing and interesting and relevant ideas to it. So
keep going.
Such as you can like backmask audio, or you can hide images and still in individual frames of videos, you know.
Or you can have an image that if you change a set of parameters within the data on how it gets read, it becomes a different image.
Right. Or it shows a QR code, or it's random audio that it's put through a certain filter, it makes words in a way you can understand, like a spectrograph.
Yep. The best thing is when other people, because you're also working on it with everyone in the world. So like if you're looking for ones, there are people out there that are playing these games, and you can join up and help them develop clues, because some of them also like combine different techniques that you need, different things like that. So I think I've gotten to one of them because someone needed to code the audio that needed to go through a modem. And it was like, how do we do this? It was like, oh, we've got a faux modem just using the Linux terminal. What? And I showed them how to use the terminal. And so pulled my little unknown. Most people don't really use a modem anymore.
Right.
You still can.
Right. It forced you to like to think outside of the box on entertainment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you're given something that is straightforward, and then there's more meaning behind it if you decide to sit down and really look into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ARGs go hand in hand with a lot of analog horror, which is taking older concepts and showing it now. Same with, like I said, with Local 58, you know, you have old TV station and old TV shows and showing that kind of stuff. The internet's really good at using like classic video games, or making games that are like, this is a PS1 game, but it's actually really weird and messed up. Like PetScot.
Yes, yeah. Like, this is a weird game.
Why is there lore? Why do you have to do this weird thing in this weird game? It doesn't make any sense. A lot of it usually comes down to a lot of people creating a story connected to whatever the medium is.
Yeah, and I think like one of the other thing that gives me to the game too, the games that are out there, is that majority of these are passion artist projects that artists are doing, and they're not really like. Now with like the creation of Patreon and stuff like that, some of them are getting paid for doing a lot of this, but most of this is art. This is an art project. This is something that they have the creativity. They want to put something out, and this is something that they're doing. It's a bunch of friends or just a group that's like, this is what we're doing, you know. And do they get, you know, then some people, when they find out what they're doing, they help them out, you know, they get paid. So they get, but some just like to do it, like they don't want to be known. Also, they want to just have it out there, and also just have the thing like, this thing is going on and no one knows, you know, who is running it, who's doing anything like that.
Right. I mean, a lot of the more elaborate things that stuff like game theory were doing is just this, just getting a massive community together to solve a ARG by like throwing hundreds of thousands of people at this thing, and they're all trying hundreds of different ways to solve one riddle. And there's also a lot of potential with ARGs to storytelling. You're writing a very interesting and compelling narrative that there are a lot of factors you have to unravel and uncover by playing this ARG.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which to me, I also feel it too, is also like to me, like I feel like it's also a gap bridge between the media of the future versus the media that we're going to have now, because there is something in between on which people have going on in the VR spaces of there's something in between a traditional video game and everything else, and it's something else that needs to bridge in more interactive style. And when it comes to, like, some people have experimented with ISK, with kind of small, compacted ARG style stuff inside of VR. So, to me, I enjoy it too, because I see, like, that almost like that gap being built there. So, anyways, that's me.
Right. And the ARG, at least now, is being used a lot hand in hand with analog horror. A lot of the backroom stuff. To get the narrative, you have to watch the videos and play the ARG game of where did this fit into this timeline? What little information do they give in this video that connects to this video? Mm-hmm. And learning the narrative through playing the game of the backrooms, basically.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that's why it got so popular. It's the mm-hmm. concept of using them hand in hand. So a good example is I posted a link to Harry because I watched this video the other day from a YouTuber named Wendigoon, where he was talking about the hypnagogic archives. Mm-hmm. And it is a two-part thing where it has videos, but it also has old school forum posts and narrative told through forum posts meant to be this is an archive website that nobody uses, and this is where this information came from. And it plays with that kind of concept of this is, if you're willing to buy into, oh, this was somebody who wrote this blog post in 2007 about, you know, them meeting the Hat Man and him pulling them into basically the world of the dead. And him being the only one that realizes them, because the Hat Man is a terrifying concept that some people talk about actually seeing.
Yeah, I don't want to go to sleep because I owe the Hat Man money.
Right? Do you know what the Hat Man is, Harry?
No.
So the Hat Man is believed to be an entity that people see when they're getting close to death. Oh. And they're able to talk with it. A lot of mountain climbers say they see them when they're climbing mountains when it gets really cold and scary. And he talks to them and points them in the right direction.
Oh, that's convenient.
It's uncomfortable, to say the least, to know that there's an entity that your brain perceives to be there that isn't there.
Oh, we've all had that, though, right?
I told you about my sleep paralysis demon. Not very many people can say they got cuddled by their sleep paralysis demon.
Oh, man. God. Sorry. My head went to the sleep paralysis demon, Brandon Rogers. video also in my head right now. Oh, man. Good.
But go for it.
I told my sleep paralysis demon that I was charging it rent, and I haven't seen it since. Epic win.
It's just gathering the goat heads to give you for rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's doing.
Yeah. Well, you just sent it on a fetch quest.
Yeah, I hope it's the goat heads, but I'm fine with not seeing it again.
But it's very interesting to just takes technology that nowadays feels like it's archaic or something that is out of date that nobody could talk about anymore, that mm-hmm. nobody uses in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are not many people who use VHS tapes.
No.
or anything along those lines. And the way the hypnagogic archives was set up of like classic, like 2007, 2008 message boards mm-hmm. of people telling their story of something they saw, or it's off of a website that doesn't exist anymore. And the element of using horror as a base of this might have happened, which adds a whole another element to a lot of these narratives. Another massive kind of ARG analog horror thing has been the Mandela catalog, which in and of itself has so much going on, because it's based around the concept of that when you look at a TV, a demon can see you back and come out of the TV as you.
Well, that's not fun.
No, as the imposter of you, but there can only be one.
Well, good thing I can me better than it can.
Can you, though?
That's only was me when I first watched the TV. I'm already better than that me.
Right. But what if it's a demon with magic, with powers that make it more powerful than you?
How does it know that it's more powerful than I am? Okay.
All right. You're a human and it's a demon.
I'm the motherfucking god of mana. Okay. All
right. Sit the fuck down, Eric. Shut the fuck up.
Do you know who I am?
Turn your chenibio off, sir. I'm going to need you to turn that off.
Do you know who I am? I've conquered the Dark Flame Master. Okay.
Don't make me get my umbrella, sir.
Oh, neither of you are a match for the ladle.
He has a point. Oh my god. But like, the Mandela catalog is based around the premise that this angel named Gabriel is basically using technology to allow demons into the world and replace humans in this county of Mandela County, is what the location is.
Mm-hmm.
And it is based around a lot of Christian ideals. Because mm-hmm. like some of the videos show like a Bible tale that gets like corrupted, and they show this Bible tale for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Get me the book out. And besides, remember, if you kill a demon, they just go back to hell. So don't kill them. Bind them into something. I prefer binding them into toilet seats at public restrooms. It's more fun this way.
Or you can seal them into rice cookers.
Ooh, yeah, see?
Very ancient rice cookers. They shouldn't be around at the time. But they do a lot of... There's a lot of narrative there that is... That you have to unpack, because like two of the main characters are like these ghost hunters mm-hmm. that are investigating these imposters and trying to understand where they're coming from and interacting with them. There's a character called the Intruder that is been known to take children through their TVs.
Oof.
And like the television is like banned in the county and destroyed. Like, one of the first videos is how to deal with an imposter. And, like, the first step is, like, get away from it. Second step, don't let it in. Third step, if it gets near you, make sure you have a gun to take care of it. Fourth, if it gets too close, might as well give up. Because if it's close enough, you're basically dead anyway.
Give up. Come on. That's what it wants. That's what it wants. All right?
But it's definitely a very interesting watch because there's a lot to it. Because they use a lot of interesting references and callbacks to things. So, mm-hmm. like, one of the ways they use to get children to let these demons in because mm-hmm. is through a parody of one of Jim Henson's earliest things that he did for Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. Of, like the light face that was like Mr. Sketchy or something like that. I believe can't remember the name off the top of my head. That's right. And they kind of use that to indoctrinate children to let the demons in.
Mm.
Because it's their imaginary friend. Mm. And once you imagine him there, he's already there. You've let it in.
Well, if we got a demon, just remember, you know, hold the water, okay? All right, all right, all right. And it's real important that you either use holy water or do what I do. I like to use spirit and prime to infusing my fist with it. It's real important that you use soul and prime and infuse your fist with it. It's a very good important step.
I'm sorry, so, Harry. This isn't World of Darkness.
It's real important step. You need to do that, okay? If you don't do that,
kind of. So how much water can a priest bless per turn?
Okay, so...
God damn it.
To be honest, right? there is actually is no limitation because of how crappy the Bible was written and the rules of that.
See, okay, so that's the thing. Like... Does holy water cease to be holy after it evaporates?
Well, it can be unholied.
How?
Unholy fashions. You know, so no, you can't just, you know, bless a bunch of a lake and then let the lake rain down. You can't do that. Now, you can bless a fog.
God damn it. I like how we're just talking about World of Darkness now. This is like that classic World of Darkness too.
At that point, I just bless the oceans and it sorts itself out. Like, yeah, vampires and other evil things haven't been able to go outside in the rain since like 1963. When one priest just got fed up with it.
And blessed all the water on the earth.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. It'll be fine. It's already some vampires can't cross running water anyway, so it's fine. It'll be fine. But evil containment wave. Just see them.
Yeah, but it's very interesting to watch as when it's definitely a survival horror kind of thing because it's the concept of normal humans are powerless against these things. And once you've brought them in, that you can't get rid of them. They take over. They get rid of people. They replace them. They can mimic your voice. They can mimic just about anything about you.
Can they?
You want to get the blessing?
Because it's stored
bless in the pee.
No, it can't. It's stored in the balls, the devil balls. Okay.
There's a manga about that.
Balls full of sin.
But it's very interesting when you watch a narrative. It watches the narrative play out and all the different ways they do it. It's not just video, but they also like in character and that reality of like, well, they're talking on message boards and they don't think that they can't travel. They only can travel through televisions and that digital media is safe. But the imposters started using a program which wants you to make an avatar for yourself and give it a name and a voice and how it sounds so it can learn to be you even more.
You know, I think I just prefer, like, In a Woods, Wendigo, and Skinwalker stories.
Which is fair. And it just kind of, everybody has their own kind of things of horror that they're interested in. A lot, the concept of the, of corrupting an image that is meant to be holy, like an angel that appears to be angelic, but is really damning you to suffer and to bring demons into the world instead of bringing light and joy. You know, well, some people are super into that, and other people are into, you know, the Walton Files, which is, you know, this defunct company and what happened and why did these people die at this defunct company. It really kind of spiraled out of control, to be honest, with the Five Nights at Freddy's gaming franchise, and that just kind of spiraled into insanity. But there's enough interesting and really well done versions of like ARGs and analog horrors that keep people interested. The reason the Backrooms are so big is because of the analog horrors tale.
Yeah.
You're gonna get snippets of this is video camera and you just no clipped into a realm that you shouldn't be in. And this person, you're seeing stuff through video cameras and security cameras and not actually what's happening.
And then Kane Pixel's news like stuff has been like just amazing addition to like to the lore.
Mm-hmm. It's always interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, the Weeping Angels are horrifying.
Yeah. Horrifying way to go. Like, because it's like, you know, I couldn't imagine, like, because I don't know about any of you, but like, most of my skills are useless if I go back too far.
Yeah, a lot of things is like, time is a very scary thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, and if I start doing anything, I'll just break stuff. It's like, you can't start inventing this thing now. This doesn't exist. Like, yes, but
I need it.
But I need this. You don't understand. It's like, these dunderheads are giving me pure copper. I have magnets. I'm going to wrap these together. And I'm going to charge my phone. And I'm
Harry be like reincarnated in the past with my overheating switch.
Leave my switch alone.
But yeah, that's the fun thing about horror. Everybody has this thing that they're interested in. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids are super into, you know, the Five Nights at Freddy's and the Poppy's Playhouse and all those those games that were just like mostly jump scares, but there's a lot of like hidden lore that's just like all over the place that you're trying to figure out, kind of like the Bendy and the Ink Machine kind of thing.
The startled genre.
Yes.
Yeah.
The startled, but I deal with the startled because there's so much lore and stuff. Because that's what I care about.
I feel this is just personal attacks because you guys won't play Phantasma with me. And I mean, it hurts. It's right here. You guys won't play with me.
Again, I don't have the game, sir.
You have money.
Phantasma. You mean Phasmophobia, sir?
Yes. I knew what he meant.
I'm going to call out the man who wants us to play it, who doesn't know what it's called.
I know exactly what it's called. There's a horror movie called, what is it? Phasmophobia. Yeah. So it's fine.
Yeah, it's always... Paul
doesn't play horror games. The only horror game Paul plays is called, like Saturday Night.
The only horror game Paul plays is try not to kill the developers of Halo TV series.
You know, honestly, Halo is kind of classified as a horror game in the original trilogy.
Yeah, with like the Flood and the
impending... Harry doesn't know about that.
Impending doom and death.
There's a flood?
Yeah.
Not a flood, the flood.
Ooh, the flood? I don't know. now it's got religious.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's called Halo, sir. I mean, it was religious to begin with.
Always has been.
Oh, Halo's gone woke now. All right.
But it's
sir, just kind I'm of... going to kick you in the ribs.
You can't kick that high.
Now I'm just going to do it to prove him wrong.
Paul spent 6 months training his kicks.
I don't need to train my kicks. I can reach his ribs.
Man, it's gonna suck having like two people die from surgery.
So which flood myth you wish to follow? I mean,
whoa, listen here. Brian W. They're not myths, okay? All right. Floods have happened. Not myths. Floods happened. Whole areas, which could be someone's world, did flood. And did they get all the animals in, two of every animal on their boat because of the flooding? Possibly happened. It happened.
But it's just one of those things of, it's always interesting to see people put in time and effort into something like making an entire series on YouTube that's based around, you know, watching these videos and finding where all the clues lead and all the interesting tidbits that you can find. I'd also like it more when it's not just, oh man, this person, this creator made it this game, but he's also a killer and he put a soul in the game. It happens a lot. It happens a lot. Like, a lot. But that's why stuff like the Hypnagogic Archives are interesting, because it's not just that. It's a bunch of other little stories that connect together in some way, shape, and form.
Yeah, and that's why, like, when people was watching, what was that terrible Marvel show? You know, the terrible one.
You have to narrow the field down, sir.
It had a superhero. He had a cape. It's terrible.
Okay, you're not narrowing it down at all, man.
Moon Knight.
Oh, that and, terrible one.
And Moon Knight took control of the sky and pulled the sky back to figure out what the sky was, you know, at a certain time. It's like, from doing ARGs, I also knew this was possible just getting online. Mm-hmm. Just, you could just look up a star chart to figure out where stars were at almost any given time, you know, based on simple mathematics, because some ARGs was based on, like, you've got to figure this out based on this thing where this thing was, you know, that happened in the 90s, you know.
Or, you know, you could just look and spot a plane traveling and somehow know exactly which one it is and steal the flag.
Hey, he will not divide us.
He will not divide us.
But God. it's always great when people buy into it, when they care and they're willing to suspend their disbelief to try to figure it out. And they know it's a narrative and they know it's a story, but they're willing to suspend their disbelief to be scared or understand, like, the creepy elements of it. Yeah. And enjoy it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's one of the beauties of the certain things. It's like I said, like, I enjoy the ones that get you out of the house, that get you go do something, you know, kind of like geocaching or caching. Mm-hmm. Caching.
Same difference.
Know. Yeah. Going off, having fun, playing with different things, and it's a lot of fun, you know. It's, you know, you'll get to
discovering.
Did the man who gets upset every time I say my hometown really just struggle to say geocaching?
Anyway, so geocaching.
Careful, Harry. He will turn it back on you. He will use the word. He will use the word.
Oh, God, he would, too. He would. He would just, like, oh, so this is funny now, huh?
But, yeah, it's willing to put the effort in. And it's also very interesting when stuff like, there was technically an ARG that a guy hid a bunch of treasure and just basically gave clues to where it was. And nobody found it for, like, 30 years.
He wrote a series of books filled with poetry and stuff that pointed to it.
And a guy who just was so invested in, when he saw it, he couldn't stop thinking about it, that he just ended up figuring it out. Because, like, the people were like, well, it could be one of two states, and then everybody went the wrong direction in the two states it could have been in. And this guy just found this buried treasure that nobody thought was even real.
Oh, wow. And that man is Captain Jack Sparrow.
I'll have to look it back up. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I don't remember exactly what his name was, but it was very, very interesting.
I kind of was hoping like Paul would jump into song or that chorus. This is the time.
Paul's too tired for that shit. He's barely alive right now. As you can see, he is zoning.
It's okay.
I have a fourth of my 2 liter left. I'm still very thirsty, but I need more caffeine.
The caffeine keeps him alive, but it makes him making him crazy.
Yeah, that the treasure was found, Ace. Somebody found it. I will assume that Brian said the right name, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Sure, Brian was probably there looking for it. Sitting there going around like, I gotta find this treasure so I can retire. I spent too much in the 80s on Quaaludes.
No, Paul isn't doing a Stephen Hawking's impression. He's just tired. He has decided to just lay back as far as possible. Yeah. Out of nowhere, because he's barely here.
You know what? I shouldn't have said Brian the Lick. Like, he's like technically the spare Reinhold on the podcast. See, as he tries to go, I say Lose the 80s. Or, Lose was a 70s thing. Yes, he's the spare Reinhold.
He's like, I know, I did 80 of them.
At once. Woke up next to Bill Cosby.
Woke up 3 years later. But yeah, it's always great when people are willing to just go with it,
yeah,
and learn and explore and exchange information with others, because it becomes a great value, Reinhold.
Great value, right? Yeah, Christy goes great value, Reinhold, and I prefer the term sparkling Reinhold. Oh,
okay. But it's
totally not Reinhold.
I can't believe it's not Reinhold.
But it's always great to know that there are people that are willing to work together towards a common goal, even if it's something silly, like figuring out a mystery of a YouTube series of who did it, or figuring out, you know, what's going on in the Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared show that came out.
Don't hug. Oh my God.
They made the show.
Up. That's messed up.
And people try to figure out what was on the cover of the book that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And them using people coming together to try to figure out what the cover of the book means.
Yep. Then didn't Rick and Morty also do a spin with Don't Hug Me and I'm Scared?
I have no idea. Don't Hug Me and I'm Scared has just been synonymous with the internet to the point where everybody knows about it.
Yeah,
I know Rick and Morty is doing a crossover with Scared Straight.
There it is! Oh my God, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, no.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. At least they let me leave.
Okay. All right.
That was a little rough.
We're putting an end to this. Boom, 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 boom.
That was a little rough. But it's always fun. It's when people are willing to do it. And horror is always interesting because finding out what people find to be scary. Like, do you remember Salad Fingers? The Newgrounds animation of Salad Fingers?
No.
Of the green monster guy who likes to touch rusty spoons?
No.
It's so weird. It's super weird.
It's weird!
And it's very much early Newgrounds levels of weird.
Good old Newgrounds.
But it's, some people are just like, oh man, this is super cool and edgy. And some people are like, this is the most horrifying shit. This is horrible and I hate it.
Welcome to the party, pal. Oh. All right. Before this gets too long in the tooth, let's end this episode. Because Yeah, I think Paul's not going to make it much longer. Right, Paul?
I am fully alert and relaxed and alert.
Yeah, and I don't want to get a cease and desist from Chris Tyre. I don't want to say we're taking his bit. I do want to go and showcase, like, these are the flowers I made my wife go get me for Valentine's Day. I made her go in line and get me chocolate and flowers.
This is where I put my flowers. If I had some!
So, Harry, you get upset when all the girly frou-frou stuff gets advertised to you, but... You have your wife out being the man.
It's more fun this way. When she goes.
Paul, don't worry about it. He's just one of the yoga girls. It's fine. He's just one of the girls. It's fine.
So you guys think that annoys me, but it doesn't annoy me. So I'm just gonna keep going.
You saying it doesn't annoy you proves that it annoys you.
it's just trying to annoy me, but it doesn't annoy me. I'm fine.
We need the Cope banner.
I would put that if I was coping, but I'm not coping, so I'm not gonna put that.
He's coping, so this is the same of him defending shit media. He's doing the same thing.
It's different.
It's coping, but it had that coping. One scene. If it had 20 more minutes, it'd be good.
It would be good if it had 20 more minutes. You guys would be like, "This was phenomenal." Trust me.
No.
20 extra minutes, like maybe 30, maybe 30, maybe 30,
maybe no, double the length.
Cope, not coke. Cope. The cope banner.
We have a cope banner. See, cope. Yeah, when people
are Harry's out here huffing copium.
I'm not on the cope. I'm not coping. I'm just out here stating things that are out there. Yeah. So if you made it this far in the episode, I want to say thank you because you'd been listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this, and that I thank you. This is a live show recorded on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. Come hang out with us. This is a conversation with you, the fans, the people coming out, hanging out with us on Monday nights. And then last Friday, we did a massive big 4-hour-plus show. Tons of different people from the network came in, had fun with us, so please come hang out with us.
Right, you can know what happens when Paul's in the woods. Sometimes he meets druids and necromancers. It's interesting.
There were no necromancers, and I never met the druids.
It's okay. Just Reinhold just put it underneath the bed. I don't understand how that works.
God, oh man, we need Brian on to fact check this. Something like we don't know. Yeah. Brian, real quick though, are you still here? Hopefully you are. We need, because Reinhold said something, and we need this fact checked. Was there a point of time that people used to keep adult magazines hidden underneath beds in hotel rooms or motel rooms? We don't know.
Please confirm, because that sounds sketchy as fuck. Yeah,
it sounds sketchy. Well, not keep them hidden. Yep. Leave them for the next person.
He said, "Yo, no, Brian, yo, that's no." No.
Oh, that's nasty.
That's nasty.
That's got my stink of the day.
Brian goes like, and that's when we started to get the internet up. He's like, I can't do this.
You see, that's when you took a lewd and then everything's okay.
You just slipped on top of the mattress and you didn't look under it. Because you were on the lewd.
On the lewd. All right. God damn it. All right. Let's go again. Thanks everybody for listening this far in. We are a professional podcast, I swear. So I right, see you guys all next Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No. Christy, you're supposed to be the wholesome one. But Christy posted, not everyone who has a wooded area to find their porn. Okay. All right, Christy. All right. We'll have to bring Christy on to find out where she found hers. All right. So, bye, everybody. We'll make sure we'll get this nice, that hard-hitting reporting that you guys all need. Say bye.
Goodbye.